Singer-songwriter David Allan Coe once said, "It is not the beauty of the building you should look at. It is the construction of the foundation that will stand the test of time." So let's go build us some foundations, shall we? Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. Yes, this week's podcast is all about building a better foundation for our electronic design lives. A little later on, Ted Pawella from Altium joins me to discuss Altium's new cloud platform called Nexar, a new way to connect PCB designers with software, manufacturers, and suppliers. But before we bring in Ted, you know it, you love it, it's time for a little news you may have missed. The return of Metamaterials Edition. So, get this. A team of researchers at the Intelligent Structural Monitoring and Response Testing, or ISMART, lab at the University of Pittsburgh Swanson School of Engineering have developed a new metamaterial system that not only acts as its own sensor, but also has the ability to record and relay information, specifically about the stresses and pressures on its structure. On top of that, it also generates its own power. Yeah. So, as you can undoubtedly imagine, this kind of self-aware metamaterial, as they're calling it, would be great for a variety of sensing and monitoring applications, especially since it creates its own power, right? But then there is the issue of scalability. This new research tackles this scalability issue with ease, because this new metamaterial, by tailoring its internal geometry, can work on both a nanoscale and a megascale. Okay, so what are we really talking about when it comes to this metamaterial? Well, until now, almost all self-sensing materials were composites that depend on different forms of carbon fibers as sensing modules. But this new research relies on performance-tailored designs and the assembly of material microstructures to create its nanogenerator and sensor systems. Amir Al-Avi, assistant professor of civil and environmental engineering and bioengineering, who leads the iSmart lab, puts it like this. He says, "You can't achieve these features with natural materials alone. You need hybrid or composite material systems in which each layer offers its own functionality. The self-aware metamaterial systems that we've invented can offer these characteristics by fusing advanced metamaterial and energy harvesting technologies at multi-scale, whether it's a medical stent, shock absorber, or an airplane wing." So, this material works like this. When it's under pressure, a contact electrification happens between its dielectric and conductive layers, which then creates an electric charge that then relays information about the condition of the material. There is also a built-in triboelectric nanogenerator, which generates power and, of course, eliminates that need for an outside power source. There is also a built-in triboelectric nanogenerator, which generates its power and, of course, eliminates the need for an outside power source. Another cool aspect of these self-aware metamaterials is that they also contain the same mechanical properties of other metamaterials, like negative compressibility and ultra-high resistance to deformation. Gloria Zhang, lead author of this research, puts it in perspective like this. She says, "Our most exciting contribution is that we are engineering new aspects of intelligence into the texture of metamaterials. We can literally transform any material system into sensing mediums and nanogenerators under this concept." Wow. And even better, this team has been rolling out the prototypes. They have created a variety of civil, aerospace, and biomedical engineering applications, which includes a heart stent design, a mechanically tunable beam that could be used for bridge monitoring so the bridge could self-monitor for defects in its structure. How cool is that? And even better than that, because this kind of self-aware metamaterial uses neither coils nor carbon fibers and is low in density, light in mass, highly scalable, low in cost, and can be fabricated using a broad range of organic and inorganic materials, they're pretty much perfect for future space exploration. Yeah. So, if you want even more information about this groundbreaking metamaterial study, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. All right, it's time to change the subject completely, but still keep within our foundation-building theme. Ted Pawella from Altium joins me to discuss Altium's new Nexar platform. So without further ado, let's bring in Ted. Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I saw that Altium just announced a new cloud platform called Nexar to connect PCB designers with software, manufacturers, and suppliers. So first, Ted, can you talk to me about the motivation to create this network and what challenges are you looking to help solve?
Yeah, so I mean, those two things are effectively intertwined. Altium, as long as I've been associated with it, has been talking about this idea of helping to transform our industry. And fundamentally, we think that one of the challenges that exist today is that when we think about the activities that take place in design or the design function, and we think about the procurement and supply chain function, and then think again about the manufacturing function, that these three very connected functions, or very dependent functions, I should say, are largely disconnected from one another and operate in a kind of siloed way. And that kind of manifests itself in design respins. I have people tell me all the time, why is it that I can specify something as simple as a passive component like a capacitor into a design? And it's available apparently when I start the design, but by the time I finish and release it and send it off to manufacturing, suddenly the entire supply of that capacitor worldwide seems to have evaporated. Likewise, we see designers say, why is it that I have to actually send my design off to a potential fabricator or assembly house, and only to have them come back and say, here are a set of things that would potentially need to be changed for me to manufacture it, or might be helpful if you could change them with respect to cost and speed of delivery. But that may take place across time zones. It will also take place via emails and, you know, ad hoc communications where you're not really sure, are they referring to the same thing that you're thinking of on the board? And you know, days go by and we make changes. And, you know, it takes a lot of time that really would be unnecessary if we could be designing with these things, not just with them in mind, but getting the input of what's available in the supply chain and what's possible to manufacture. If we knew that while we were designing, that'd be really helpful. So that's fundamentally the motivation that we have in order to really build an ecosystem of players in the electronics domain that we think want to and need to work together better in order to really meet what is an incredibly quickly growing demand for smart and connected products.
That makes sense. Now, Ted, what kind of partners will be involved in this platform? I know you mentioned suppliers and manufacturers, but what kind of categories do these partners fall into?
Yeah, well, I tend to think of them in a couple of, a handful of categories. One category would be software and technology partners. So in that, I would say that, you know, we consider simulation, we consider mechanical CAD, we consider any kind of application that relates to the design and realization of a printed circuit board. So there's lots of those things that Altium does not create on its own. And we want for our users to benefit from those applications as well as our own in terms of kind of a connected and coherent user experience, not where they have to go to multiple interfaces, multiple data models, and have to do translations between applications in order to kind of make progress on these things. So technology and software partners is one category. Manufacturers in the form of fabricators, contract manufacturers, EMS houses, that's another category. Supply chain in terms of component distributors, component manufacturers, and it could also be things like brokers, for example, that where companies are involved in that, where they take away some of the headaches of compliance and managed inventory and that sort of thing. So those are three categories. And then another one would be service providers. Service providers could be something as a company that helps you to build and maintain your libraries of designs and components, but it could also be, you know, other people who do design work directly, like a design bureau or something like that. I tend to think of them in those categories, but there could be many more, and we're certainly open to them as well.
Excellent. So, Ted, I've been a fan of Altium 365 for a while now. Does the Nexar platform work with Altium 365?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question because it can be confusing. And in fact, you know, in your first statement, you said Altium just announced a new cloud platform called Nexar. And the reality of it is that we have a single cloud platform, but I think of it as a multi-sided platform. And one side of that is what faces our customers and users, and they see that in the form of features and functions and capabilities. But if you're a partner, you don't need to use those things. What you want to do is kind of enter that ecosystem of users and their work. And so Nexar is the other face of it. It's the side that faces partners, and it really comprises an API. So one big sort of difference with Nexar is that we're introducing an open API whose definitions and everything will be published openly and not held in a proprietary format, but it'll allow people to, whether it's integrate applications or to exchange data or whatever it might be, it'll allow people to get exactly what they need in order to, you know, support their own offerings, solutions, services, et cetera, working closely with both Altium 365 and all of our desktop applications that rely on it and connect to it, like Altium Designer and Nexus, Circuit Maker, Circuit Maker Pro, et cetera. So really, as I said, there are two faces of exactly the same platform, and it allows for those partners to kind of enter into this ecosystem in order to provide, you know, and our goal really is that we want partners to come in and provide more value for our customers. And we know that if the more people that adopt Altium 365, well, that's, you know, better for us and ideally better for our customers as well as the partners.
That makes sense. Now, Ted, if one of my audience members wants to get their company involved in the Nexar platform, how would they go about doing this?
Yeah, it's pretty simple, really. So there is a Nexar.com website that kind of gives a high level overview of what Nexar is and what things are available to you. You can actually create kind of a Nexar account on there and get access to the API. We're just about to make that officially available as of May 1st. But the other thing that you can do, most people, before they start messing around with an API, they probably want to learn more about it and understand what's the business model and what technically can you offer me. And so we have easy ways for people to do that. They can simply click on schedule a meeting on that website, and it'll actually put something directly into someone's calendar in my team, myself, or someone else in a business development function working with partners. You know, they can contact me directly. You know, my email is available on a bio on a website. And yeah, they can easily just go to that website and schedule a meeting. And by the way, since I mentioned the business model, one thing that I'd really like to highlight is that this effort to create this ecosystem is not one that we are looking to directly monetize. So the mantra that we have within our team is that it's zero cost and zero friction for partners to play a role in this. And the reason for that is, once again, that the key to this is to provide an unprecedented level of value to our user community, the people who use our design tools. and make that platform so appealing that it's the obvious choice. And that's the way that we see that we win business context is gaining market share in PCB design tools by having the most valuable platform for them to work in. So it's really easy. The barrier to entry is virtually non-existent for partners, and we're excited to build that ecosystem.
Excellent. All right. Ted, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, lately, I've been doing a COVID-related food question. So it seems like we've been locked down forever these days. But Ted, if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter if the restaurant is closed, you need a passport to get there, it's on the other side of the country, what would you have?
That's really an easy one for me, and I'm super simple. So pizza has always been my favorite food, and I like really good, like Neapolitan-style pizza. So any place that can do that really well and have that nice sort of bubbly outside crust and the thin crust in the middle and great fresh ingredients, I'm a sucker for that every time, and I could probably eat that every day for every meal, and I never get tired of it.
And that sounds delicious. Well, Ted, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amelia.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by yours truly. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or just about anywhere you get your podcasts. And remember, if you want to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that platform of your choice. And if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or, heck, you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 4th, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton. And you've been fried.